What about the issue of VEGF rebound? This also is an issue that's coming out in different tumor types. How long do you use anti-VEGF therapy, et cetera? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think that the thing that we're now focusing on is mechanisms of resistance. So it's one thing to be able to say that a patient has an 80% chance of responding. It's another thing to be able to understand that at some point they will stop responding. And what is the mechanism for that stop responding? And one of the possible mechanisms is this rebound, VEGF, other angiogenic pathways. The one thing that our oncology community has to recognize, even though we're spending enormous amount of time and effort on the VEGF pathway, there are many angiogenic pathways in cancer, VEGF being only one. So there are many escape mechanisms that tumors have been able to develop over years to escape just VEGF inhibition.
You know, the other thing that I'm just kind of starting to become aware of is the issue of the fact that maybe a lot of these drugs aren't as simple as we think they are, that they just hit one pathway and they're, quote, dirty and actually hitting multiple pathways.
I think that's absolutely true. I mean, I don't think, as much as the world wants to have us assume that the benefits from a drug like sunitinib or bevacizumab are related to single pathway inhibition, drugs like Nexavar and Sutent hit more than just a single pathway. Now, there's good news and bad news about that. The good news is if the cancer is driven by more than one pathway, you get benefit. The bad news is if you hit other pathways, you get toxicity. And it always has to be a balance between risk and benefit. And I would say for the practicing oncologist, it's probably more important to categorize the agent and the benefit for a disease than to try and silo anti-angiogenesis as the causative reason that those things are benefiting. So, for example, we're going to see a lot of information at this ASCO and other meetings about the use of sunitinib and bevacizumab and others in other diseases. The bevacizumab is a great example. In breast cancer, in colon cancer, in lung cancer, bevacizumab in part makes chemotherapy better. In kidney cancer, it has nothing to do with chemotherapy. So,
and plus it has a monotherapy response rate.
Right. So I think that we can't just say that it always acts the same in every disease because we're not that smart and because we don't know the science just well enough yet.
And then in terms of Bev, there's ovary, which is even more interesting.
I think we have a good understanding of that. I mean, I think that ovarian cancer in a hypoxic environment overexpresses angiogenic factors. We know that some of the remarkable results in ovarian cancer with bevacizumab in controlling ascites and stopping the tumor cells from producing that fluid has been a great benefit to patients with ovarian cancer. But it is a VEGF-driven event, and it'll be interesting to see whether things like receptor inhibitors accomplish the same thing, because one would expect that if the ascites in ovarian cancer is because of the ligand, the VEGF ligand, that giving something like sunitinib might not help because it drives up the ligand. And I have actually heard anecdotally that people have tried the TKIs in ovarian cancer and have not seen the benefit clinically as they have seen with bevacizumab.